some questions I've received. Via the internet, subject of the one I'm going to address now is the subject is Shastra and temple management. How can we best approach senior devotees or temple management regarding the adherence or lack of adherence to Shastra and to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada? How best to approach different people? Okay, Hare Krishna. It will depend a lot on who those people are and what our relationship is with them. The general formula is, in approaching seniors or persons who have accepted positions of authority within our Krishna conscious society, is to do so with respect for the position of authority and the service they've taken up in that regard. So that's the general mood that Srila Prabhupada very strongly inculcated. Apart from that, there may be our own personal relationship with them and their own personality. Some people are very open to different kinds of suggestions, and others are very closed. And of course, there are shades of gray, people who are more open than others, some more closed than others, and it may be different moods they're in, and there may be so many factors. So some general guidelines is that if we do see something which we perceive to be incorrect, then we should be able to submit that, giving reasons why we see that something is incorrect or that it should be improved. Something that I often recommend is to, if someone has a point that they want to make that they feel is important enough that it should be taken very seriously, then it's often can be useful to put it in writing and respectfully say that, well, I think this and this needs to be done, and this is why, giving a structured reasons why. That makes the issue very clear. Whereas maybe it's because I'm accustomed to doing a lot of writing, but I've several times recommended that. And that may be more useful, because in speaking, often the topic tends to, we tend to go off topic, or to there may be more chance of misunderstanding. It may be taken as a personal issue. That is quite often observed, that when we suggest something, then the temple manager or whatever, they may tend to take it that, well, you're suggesting means I'm not doing things well enough. That means you're criticizing me. That element may also be there. it can be very difficult, and it is common syndrome in the vast world outside of ISKCON, what to speak of within ISKCON, of subordinates feeling frustrated in their dealings with seniors or those who are appointed to supervise them. And what to speak of in the age of Kali, where the factor of quarrel and distrust is always present. So love and trust, Srila Prabhupada spoke of love and trust. If that can be established, which is not possible to do simply by making legislation, nor by following any psychological formulae, but if devotees, love and trust can be generated where devotees are actually very sincere to serve Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas without any personal motivation and are simply thinking how we can best serve everyone. If that atmosphere is there, then some discussion should be possible. And it may not even be that the leader is sitting up on some pedestal 70 billion miles above everyone else, but is down there with everyone serving. Of course, the leader, there has to be a leader, not that we just have some anarchy. So that the leader has their own personal style of doing things has to be respected also. At the same time, there are clear guidelines from Srila Prabhupada and Shastra on certain issues. So if those are not being followed, then that is certainly questionable. So is there any clear guideline how to do this? No. The general point that Srila Prabhupada said is that we should bring a point to some immediate authority, and if that is not, if that's not accepted and we're not satisfied with the explanation given for why it's not accepted, then we should take it up to the next authority. But and then we can take it up again. As Srila Prabhupada said, it's something like taking a case to a lower court and then referring it to a higher court. But practically speaking, in our movement, this theoretical system is, it hardly exists. So probably the most practical guidance, unless you are in a situation with a very understanding and open leaders, is we'll do the best you can. And if you can't change it, well, if you can't change something, you may have to live with it. Or if it irks you so much, then you don't have to live with it. You can, if it's something which really bothers you so much, then you may not want to associate with that. That's an extreme measure. You may not want to associate with the devotees at all. If it's a relatively small thing, then you may just have to live with it, understanding that, well, you can't always have the things the way that you hope them to be. Or immediately you can't do that. So there may be different standards that different devotees adhere to also. Now related to that is a question which was just brought to me by a devotee here in Bhopal who is concerned with the level of cleanliness here in the ashram here. And he considers that it's so important that to have everything clean, that even we could cut a little time from book distribution or from something to have things cleaner. So cleanliness obviously is an essential brahminical quality, and it does make a difference. If we go into a temple or any other place which is very neat and clean, we notice that. And if we go into a place which is horribly dirty, then we notice that also. And that's, we may not notice if we're living in a place, but newcomers do. A few years ago, I remember entering the car park at ISKCON of Mayapur, and I couldn't help but notice there's garbage everywhere. There's crisp packets and just lots of garbage. It may have been just that one day's garbage if there are a lot of coaches coming in with lots of people throwing lots of things out, but it certainly didn't give a very nice impression. I hope things are better now. Apart from that, our consciousness is affected. If everything is very clean, then that helps us to have a clean consciousness. And if we're in clean consciousness, then we want to keep everything very clean. And again, if everything is very dirty, then that will affect our consciousness. Right. So it is essential brahminical quality to keep clean. It's also essential to go out and distribute books. So how to balance all these things? Again, this kind of what could be a small discussion, it could become so big in devotees' minds that they become very disturbed. This is how the personality of Kali, quarrel and hypocrisy, enters. Generally, we should not take a place bigger than we can keep clean, but we've got this actually excellent facility here, which we should take, which is more or less free. We don't have to pay any rent, although we have to pay high electricity bills. So we should take it. We should keep it clean also, but we shouldn't, on the other hand, we shouldn't spend so much time that we're just cleaning, and that's all we do. Although we want to maximize our time for going out and preaching. So, how to keep it? I mean, if you start looking closely, you could see that these light sockets could also use cleaning from time to time. They're also dirty. You probably, if we live here, then we don't notice. But if you start to look, then you'll find all kinds of things which need cleaning. So yeah, there should be a daily cleaning schedule, and maybe once a week some extra cleanup, and once a month a major cleanup. Keep everything clean. Could also ask some members of the congregation who are coming around if they're ready for that, to help with that. There also comes up the point in this regard of following the authority, that if the authority, in this case Gurudas Prabhu here, says go out on book distribution, that's our priority, should we just follow? Yeah, we could take some time out of other activities to do extra cleaning if we see fit. It's also good to have regular meetings of devotees so that everyone can express their views and give suggestions. We used to have those when I joined. They were called Ishta Goshtis. Srila Prabhupada mentions them quite often in his letters. It seems from his letters that the original purpose of these was to discuss matters from Shastra. But they became more and more like temple management meetings, and devotees, like I say, devotees giving suggestions. And probably it was around that point that they got dropped from the schedule altogether, because it can be difficult if everyone has many suggestions and they all think that, well, we all have to follow what I think. And that way nothing can be organized. Everyone has different priorities about what they think should be done. So there has to be some leadership, and that should be followed. And if there are things which we find are important enough that it should be stated, then state it. And like I said, if it's not taken very seriously, then you could present your case more. In this case, you could get some quotes from Srila Prabhupada on cleanliness and present them in a respectful way, if you really want to push this through. Again, I'm giving it some general idea rather than specific, because devotees have to work these things out between themselves. Each situation will be different. I do see that Srila Prabhupada, of course, he did stress cleanliness in the temple, and temples should be cleaned daily. But he certainly stressed going out for book distribution as a priority. That doesn't mean cleaning should be dropped. Both are required. But certainly Srila Prabhupada did emphasize this point of book distribution. Okay.